Hebrews this morning, the book of Hebrews, and we're going to do some teaching from the Word of God this morning, but I hope that it's more than just information to you. There's something about it. You can read words, but when the words are heard, there is something about it that's totally, completely different. And the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it's got to be more than just words that we hear. It has to go from our ears to our head to our heart so that it will become a part of us. Amen. Hebrews 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Everybody said Jesus. What a wonderful name. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 this morning. And it says this: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Praise God. And just felt like over the course of the last several weeks or months to just talk about Jesus. Amen. Now, I know that many folks, they talk about Jesus, but do they really know? Do we really know who he is? The Apostle Paul said that I might know him. It's more than just knowing scriptures about him, but we've got to know him. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word of truth this morning. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. We ask you, Lord, to speak to each of us this morning. Give us wisdom, but draw us closer to you each and every day in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated this morning. There is something here I want to just... If you need a title this morning, I just want to talk about the wonder of Jesus. The more you look at him, and the more, as the scripture says here, that you consider him, there is something that begins to take place in your spirit and in your heart. Because Jesus is not just a man that was born in history at a particular point in time. He is not just a healer or a prophet. He is much, much more than that. Praise the Lord. And when I think about Jesus, I think about the word significant here this morning. That word significant is a word that means meaningful, or it also means to have concealed meaning, important or crucial. And so when we consider Jesus here this morning, we will come up with the understanding that Jesus is significant today. Somebody said amen. He is significant here this morning. And when we approach him, we must understand what we are coming to and who we are coming to. When we come to the house of God to worship, it's imperative this morning that we understand what we are worshiping and who we are worshiping today. It's so very, very vital. When we go to him in prayer, when our children are sick, when our grandchildren are sick, when we have a need in our lives. Scripture says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there is a reason for that. It is because of who he is this morning. Praise God. The living for God is really the most exciting and adventurous and trial-filled experience that anybody could ever have in their lives. Amen. Living for the Lord is awesome. Can you say amen this morning? Amen. Living for God is awesome. It really is. And not just living for God, but a blessed hope that we have beyond this life. A blessed hope that when we get there, we will be able to say, I would have done it 1,000 times over. Praise God. Because there will be no comparison of the glory that will be revealed in us based upon the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties of this life. Praise God. So I want to talk about the Lord Jesus this morning. And the writer to the Hebrews, which I believe was the Apostle Paul, even though there was a little bit of a difference in the style of writing, there are many, many things here that are very deep. And he wrote to the Hebrews. The Hebrews, of course, were the Jews. It was the Jewish nation of Israel. He was writing to those that had a tremendous history, to those that had a tremendous relationship with God. They were the only nation, and probably the only nation in the world that had and does have the testimonies that they had and that they have today. No other nation crossed through a sea on dry ground. Amen. No other nation saw a move of God that they saw. And he wrote to them to remind them some things of their past experience with God, with the voice of God. I'm going to preach a little bit more about this tonight in the service. I came across some things and it just thrilled my heart, and I want to share it with you tonight. But this writer of Hebrews, there are a couple of things that stand out when we look at this entire beginning of the book of Hebrews, especially Hebrews chapter 1. But two things stand out as the voice of God in the Old Testament, and that was, of course, the prophets, and then there was angelic visitations, and so the Hebrews put a tremendous significance upon the prophets. They put a tremendous significance upon angels, because there were many, many instances in the Old Testament that you can read about where there was a divine intervention by the angels of God. I won't go into those here this morning, but God spoke to the prophets. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers or different ways spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And so now the Bible says something has changed, and oh, what a change it was. Praise God. We're not worshiping a human prophet here this morning. We don't go to visit the grave of a prophet. And in fact, when Moses passed away, the Lord buried him, and no one knows where he is buried. And there was a disputing about the body of Moses between Satan and Michael the archangel. And I began to think about that, and I thought, why did Satan want the body of Moses? And it was so that he could build a monument to Moses there, so that the children of Israel would come and worship Moses. Amen. But God would not allow that. Amen. Michael said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. There's only one that we worship here this morning. Praise God. There's only one that we should serve in our life and give our lives to. And that, of course, is God Almighty. Praise God. And this God of the Old Testament that they could not see, or there was no way that they could physically touch him. This God who spoke through the prophets and in different ways. And in fact, not only did he speak through the prophets, there were times that he spoke to the prophets. Amen. And in one place, he spoke to the prophet by an old donkey. Amen. And so in different ways, in different manners, God spoke in the Old Testament. But I'm glad today that we don't have to wait for a donkey to come along. Praise God. I'm glad that we don't have to have a prophet among us. Praise God. Although I believe in prophecy, I don't believe that we have need of anything today but Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he is the wonder of all times, because he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. And he writes here, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, in the last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Amen. And so not only does he tell us here the fact that now God speaks through his Son, and the words of his Son are the things that we need to give heed to. In fact, Scripture says we, the church, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Praise God. And so we cannot discount the prophets, of course. That's all the apostles had to preach from was the Old Testament. But the message of the apostles came from directly from Jesus Christ. And so he gives us who has spoken to us in these days. But not only does he give us this understanding, he gives us the significance of who it is that is speaking in these last days. Praise God. I heard a radio broadcaster, an atheist, one time, and he said there's only one difference between Jesus and anybody else, and that is that he got himself hung on a cross. And I thought, oh my, fella, you're headed for real trouble in your life when you start talking about the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. Many people today discount the name of Jesus, and they use it in a slang sense. They use it in cursing and all of that. But there is a wonder of Jesus this morning. There is a wonder about him. And so it's not just who it is that's speaking to us, but it is the significance of who it is that is speaking to us in the last days. It is God's Son, amen, that he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Praise God. No one can lay claim to be Jesus Christ but him alone. Amen. Well, praise God. And what the Lord gives us here in the book of Hebrews is words. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Everybody said spoken. There's only one way to speak, and that is to use words. God spoke and the worlds came into existence. In fact, if we look at an age-old scripture here in John chapter 1 and verse 1, praise the Lord. We're going to get into this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And we could look at that this morning, and we could go all the way down through verse 10. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, who made everything? Some people say it was the physical man, Jesus, who created the world. That's not biblical. That's not scriptural, because the subject here in John chapter 1, verse 1 through at least through verse 14 is God. Amen. In the beginning, if you go to Genesis 1 and verse 1, you should be able to quote that this morning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Praise God. It was God. And so in the beginning was the Word. What did God create everything with? What did God use when He created in the beginning? In Genesis chapter 1 and other chapters as well, He used words. Amen. He used the Word, and we call it the Word of the Lord or the Word of God. And I'm speaking this morning and using words to communicate, and that is what God uses, is words to communicate. Yes, He lets us feel Him, and yes, He uses individuals, but there is something about the Word of God. Amen. Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. It's not based upon what we see and what we feel, because what we see is temporary and what we feel is temporary, but there is something that is eternal this morning, and it is the words of God. Somebody ought to just say amen. Amen. It is the words of God. And so the subject here is God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Some say that was the eternal Christ that existed in eternity. But there is no place anywhere in the Word of God that it calls Jesus the eternal Christ. It is impossible for someone to be eternal and to be begotten at the same time. Amen. And in fact, here it says in the beginning, that's what happened in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so here is what took place by the Word of God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. And God stepped out on the balcony of space, if you please, and looked out in the darkness and then spoke into the darkness. And all of a sudden there was a world that was created. Praise God. All of a sudden there was light and there was darkness, and everything that we take for granted today came into existence by the Word of God. Did you know this morning that this church has come into existence by the Word of God? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And do you know what's going to uphold all of the creation? Scripture tells us it is the Word of God that upholds all creation. In other words, it is the Word of God that tells the earth to spin at a certain rate, and it has continued to spin at that rate. Amen. It is the Word of God that causes the sun to exist. It is the Word of God that helped you to get up in the morning. Amen. This morning. Is everybody up this morning? All right, praise God. We need to be up and ready to go on Sunday morning. Praise God. And it is the Word of God that's going to get you up in the morning. It is the Word of God that has given us our breath here this morning. It is the Word of God that upholds everything. And so John says, in the beginning was the Word. There had to be something wondrous that was there in the bosom of God that would hold up everything that God created. In this world, what we create does not last forever. Amen. The wise man said there's a time to pick up stones and there's a time to throw stones away. There's a time to build and a time to tear down that which is builded. But you're never going to tear down what God built. Amen. There is a time and a season for us, but there's not a time nor a season for God unless it is contained in the Word of God. And so what does that say to you and I? What it ought to say to you and I is it gives us a tremendous hope this morning. Amen. It gives us a tremendous foundation. Amen. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And one of the disciples said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." You know why? Because the church is not built on a personality. Amen. This church is not built upon a personality. Amen. But it is built upon the rock, the understanding of who Jesus is. There is a wonder about Jesus Christ. Amen. It is so wonderful. And in fact, the prophet of old said, "His name shall be called Wonderful." Praise God. And wonderful is something that when we experience it, we can only say, "That is truly wonderful." Oh, praise God. Got to see some trees in different colors while we were on our little vacation. And just look at it and say, "That's wonderful. That just looks wonderful." And the more you examine the creation of God, the more you have to say, "It's wonderful. It's beyond my comprehension that anybody could say there is no God when there is such a wonder all about us." And this is merely the creation, the result of the spoken word of God. Amen. But there is something that is more wonderful than the creation, and that is the Creator. Praise God. Amen. Well, hallelujah. We get a little glimpse into the nature and the character of our great Creator and the great God that we serve this morning. His name is Jesus. Amen. And when we begin to look at Him and examine Him under the microscope of the Word of God and through the preaching and the anointing of the Word of God, amen. How many times have you left the house of God and in your heart of hearts you said, "That was wonderful"? I have, and I thought, as a preacher, I've heard other preachers preach, and I thought, "I've got a long way to go." Amen. Sometimes it's like an angel that's preaching, and it gets right to the core of your spirit and your heart, and that's because it is not a sales pitch. Amen. It is not the word, the crafty words of some person, but it is the Word of God that is anointed by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. And so in the beginning was the Word, and then we can go on down to verse 14, and the Word, amen, the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and then it says here that the Word was made. Everybody said made. Made. There is there is nothing that we can come up with here this morning that we can say that God was made. Amen. Some people today, atheists, will tell you that God is something that was made by man. And when did God come into existence? And they say, when man made him. But we cannot make God. We did not make God. God made us. Praise the Lord. And the Word was made. Amen. And so there was a beginning. In fact, verse 1, he says, "In the beginning." That's time. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, time, space, and matter. Amen. But the beginning was the starting point. Some people say in the beginning, there's Jesus in the beginning. I'm telling you, God did not have a beginning. God does not have an ending. Amen. He is eternal. He is the eternal God, meaning that he never had a birthday. There was no day that he was conceived. There was no day of his birth. Amen. God is, God was, and God always will be. He is the first and the last, according to Old Testament scripture. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Praise God. And not only is he the beginning and the end, he was before the beginning. Praise God. And so the Word, which was God, took on a different form. Amen. He did not take on the form of a prophet. He did not take on the form of a priest. And you can read it in Hebrews chapter 1. He did not take on the form of an angel. Amen. He was not a priest. He was not a prophet in the traditional sense of the word. And he was not an angel. Praise God. Who was he? He was God. Amen. And God became flesh. Amen. Scripture tells us that God is a spirit. Amen. God is a spirit. A spirit is not flesh. Amen. But the Word is not flesh. The Word is God. So the Word is spiritual. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Amen. And so the Word of God did not have a bodily form or a physical form that we could look at and say, right there is the Word of God. The Word of God was a spiritual, if I could say it this way this morning, a spiritual and powerful emanation that came out from God. Amen. The Word, excuse me, the Word which was the plan of God, the Word which was and is the thoughts of God, where it was in God. The Bible says that it was with God and it was God. Amen. So it was in the bosom of God. It was in the mind of God, but it did not come down to us until the Word was made flesh. Praise God. And that's why at the manger, and I love Christmas time, and some of you here this morning love Christmas time as well. Amen. I love Christmas. And it's more than just the lights and the tree and the presents and all the fun that we have, the making merry and all of that. It is about a baby that was born in a manger. And when you begin to think about it, the God who created all things, amen, the God who spoke the worlds into existence was in that little manger wrapped up in a human body. Amen. Oh my, you just got to think about that for a minute, because when you do, it'll blow your mind. It'll be scattered in a million pieces and you'll never get it back. There is a wonder of Jesus that supersedes anything that we could ever comprehend or imagine in our minds. Amen. And so Hebrews here tells us that God, who created all things, was not an angel. He was not Michael the Archangel, as some would say. He was not an earthly prophet. But he made the boast. He said, "I have come down from heaven. I am the bread that has come down from heaven." And the one that came down from heaven condescended. And John chapter 1 there, the subject is God. God the Creator. And God the Creator became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God. And he's among us here this morning. Praise the Lord. The great thing about it is the scripture says we have the Spirit of Christ in us. And the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ was God. Amen. God is a spirit. And scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there this morning, but that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus Christ, not the Father of another God, but the Father of a body that he had prepared for sacrifice and for the redemption of the world. Amen. If you please, the scripture says that to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. Praise God, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and so on. But God was in Christ, and the Spirit that was in Christ was without measure. It was the fullness of God. I better be careful. I'm going to be preaching my sermon tonight, my message tonight. But it tells us here that he was the express image of his person. Amen. And let me see if I can find the scripture real quickly here. But Colossians 1:15, I knew somebody had that this morning. Quote that for us. Who is the image of the invisible God? I'm just going to touch on that this morning. But the image and the glory, the word glory there in that scripture means brightness or a flood of light. Amen. He is the glory and expressed image. The words expressed image or express image means a carving or an exact copy. Amen. And so in Jesus Christ, the wonder of Jesus Christ is that he was and is an exact image. In other words, when we see Jesus Christ, we see God Almighty. Amen. When we get a comprehension of Jesus Christ, as much as is possible, we get a comprehension of God Almighty. Amen. God Almighty, who came down to this world, and when he walked on the shores of Galilee, he was not just a man, he was God Almighty. Praise God. God condescended. God humbled himself all the way to the cross. And if you please, I believe this morning that God was in Christ until Jesus cried out and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was speaking to his Father, and he understood that his Father was God Almighty. You see, God cannot become sin. God cannot sin, neither can he tempt anyone to sin, because God is righteous and holy and pure, and in the most extreme sense of the word. Amen. And so God could not become sin, but when God left Jesus Christ on the cross, the Bible says he became sin for us who knew no sin. The body, the scripture says, a body hast thou prepared me. Amen. That body was the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Is this all right this morning? I hope you gain an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4, speaking of Jesus, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Praise God. And so when it comes down to the crux of the matter, when it comes down to the point of all of this, it comes down to this scripture here, being made so much better than the angels. And it goes back to the other scripture that we read, where it says that the Word was made flesh. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. And so God made a vessel. God made a vessel. And it could not be a bull. It could not be a goat. It could not be a turtle dove or a pigeon that would wash away our sins. But it had to be a human being. Amen. Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Humanity had the penalty of death hanging over it from the very beginning until Calvary. Amen. Well, praise God. And so he was made. He was a body that was prepared. And as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. A more excellent name. Amen. The word made there means to come into being. That's what the scripture is talking about when it says that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It also is what it means. This is what it means when it says, thou art my begotten son, or we call him the begotten son of God. Well, praise the Lord. He was begotten. Begotten speaks of a point in time. Conception speaks of a point in time. Amen. A beginning point, a starting point. And Jesus started in the conception of Mary. What was it that conceived in the womb of Mary? It was the Word of God. Think about that this morning. It was the Word of God. It was the Word of God that commingled in her womb, and the child that was born was the Son of God, and he was the Son of Man at the same time. Praise God. He wasn't someone that showed up at a particular point in time and made himself manifested in flesh. No. He had to go through a normal birth situation. He had to spend 9 months inside of his mother, and he had to grow, he had to learn, he had to, just as we grow and learn. Amen. Got to spend a little bit of time with my grandson this last week, and he is my joy. Amen. And he's running around, climbing over everything. And, oh my, he loves his grandpa. I mean, he loves grandpa more than anybody else. I know that for a fact. He told me so. 14 months old, and Netta told me that she was playing a song on the piano. And at one particular point in time, and he started clapping. And she said, through the whole song, he clapped on beat. Amen. Through the whole song at 14 months. And I said, yeah, he's going to be great. Amen. He might just be, I don't want him to be the next president. No, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But he's going to be great. Amen. And he had to learn that. He had to learn to walk. Jesus had to learn how to speak. He had to learn the language. He obviously studied the scriptures and began to understand the scriptures. And the reason he had to go through that process is because he was a human being. Right. And the only thing that could redeem us from our sins would be a perfect human being. Amen. Someone that was without sin. someone that was without blemish, as it was in the Old Testament with the lamb. It had to be without blemish or spot or any such thing. It was speaking of a future day when the Son of Man would be born, the Son of God would be born, and he would give his life for humanity. There was no sin in his life. There was nothing that anyone could point a finger at. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5. If you're there, go to the next verse. Brother Reed, read Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5 for me.
For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5 and read that for me as well. And be my helper here this morning. But Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son? There is no angel that God ever said, You are my son, this day have I begotten thee. You say, well, Scripture tells us that the angels are called the sons of God. They are the sons of God by direct creation. They are not the sons of God by procreation. They were not begotten, they were created. Amen. And so there is only one whom God said, this day have I begotten thee. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Would you read that? All right, so Scripture tells us that he was made better than the angels for the suffering and for the redemption of mankind. But unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come. And so Jesus was not an angel. Some think that he was an angel, but he's not an angel. Amen. Scripture asks the obvious question here, and he did not say this to any of the angels, but in Matthew chapter 1, Scripture declares that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And so when you get an understanding of this morning, and I may not get through all of this here today, there's so much when we consider Jesus Christ. But when we look at it here this morning, the obvious question or the answer is, who was the father of Jesus Christ? Amen. The father of Jesus Christ was the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 1, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Ghost is the father of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Ghost is, of course, a title. It's not a name. Amen. Just like Father is not a name, it is a title. It represents something about the individual or object or whatever you're talking about. Holy Ghost is not a name. Amen. It is a title. God is holy. God is a spirit. Somebody ought to agree with that here this morning. And so God Almighty, It wasn't a triune Godhead that comprised together to bring this about, but the God of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. The Jews only know of one God still to this day. Amen. And there still is only one God. And so the wonder of Jesus is that God himself came down and conceived in the womb of Mary. And when that child was born, God in his fullness. You see, if we have the Holy Ghost this morning, we have an earnest. We have a portion of the Holy Ghost. We don't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost today. But in that little baby that was born in the stable, praise God, The fullness of God came down and dwelt in him.
Amen.
What a wonder. We sing that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder you are. Amen. And I could go into the angels this morning. I have a number of scriptures that we could talk about. I'm not going to go to that place, but Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. Give me verse 8, Brother Reed.
But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, and a scepter of thy kingdom.
Thy throne, O God. Now, how could someone who was conceived and begotten be God at the same time? That's the wonder of Jesus right there. Amen. That's the wonder of this great God that we serve today. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Amen. And the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. He does everything well, doesn't he? He does everything right. All right, read verse 9. And I'll just let you go through verse 12, but I may stop you as you're going.
Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
All right, now he's speaking about Jesus here, and he says, you've loved righteousness. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. You've hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God. Think about that this morning. This is not one God speaking to another God. This is not a big God and a little God. For if someone says, you are my God, that places that individual or that God at a higher plane than the person that is declaring that. Amen. And so, therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Praise God.
Amen.
That's who conceived in Jesus Christ was God Almighty. Read the next verse, please.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand.
All right, he's speaking about God. Therefore, God, even thy God. And then he says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, there it is again about the beginning. You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years fail not. Praise God. And so that's who he's talking about. Consider Jesus here this morning. Please consider who Jesus is. Amen. Because he is the wonder of all ages. He is the greatest of the greatest. Amen. He is the one who came to redeem us from our sins. Read verse 13 for me, Brother Reed.
But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?
All right. The obvious answer is to none of the angels. He did not say that to any of the angels, but he said that to the Son, his Son. Amen. Because of this man Jesus and his position, the scripture that we read this morning, we need to give earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Praise God. It comes down to where we're living. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I want to finish with this here this morning, and I'm going to pick it back up here tonight. Actually, Brother Reed, give me Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11, please. And I'll read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. He says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. God put everything under subjection of the feet of Jesus. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Praise God. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Everything we do in the name of Jesus. Because he is the express image, the exact copy of God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? You say, well, everything doesn't seem to be under my feet right now. Well, he goes on and he says, but now we see not yet all things put under him. You say, well, if God's in control, why are all these things taking place? It's not meant for them to take place yet. But if all we looked at was the results of our prayer, it would be different. But he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Amen. What we need to see in every situation is Jesus. That scripture tells us right there that when we pray in his name, but we may not see everything put under his feet. In other words, you're going to go through a trial and a test in your walk with God. And not just a trial and a test. You're going to go through many trials and many tests in your walk with God. And you'll pray. How many's ever been in this place? You pray and it seems like the heavens are brass. And it doesn't seem like God hears and God answers. Read for us this morning, Brother Reed. Above every name.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
We're going to make that declaration. Amen. And what's so exciting about living for God, let's stand together this morning. What's so exciting about living for God is we have somewhere to go in the time of trouble. And you pray and it doesn't seem like there's an answer, but the answer may be coming and saying, I'm going to help you through this. I'm not going to take you out of this, but I'm going to help you through this. Amen. Praise God. Some this morning are probably dealing with situations in your life and you don't know which way to turn or which way to go. I'm here to tell you, just go to Jesus. Amen. I know that sounds very simplistic, but that's the beauty of it. Amen. We just go to Jesus. Amen. And we talk to him and we pray in his name. We call upon his name this morning. Amen. I believe he's a healer this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need a healing in my body. Some of you need a healing in your body this morning. You say, I haven't seen that under my feet yet. It's there, but all we can see right now is Jesus. We see through a glass darkly, but when we look into that glass, we can see the wonder of Jesus. We can see the beauty of Jesus. We can see the power that emanates through him. He is the mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus, the mediator, God and man. Here we are this morning. God is so high. He could not come into this room in his fullness or we would all perish. We would vaporize in the light of his glory. It would be like being dropped into the sun, even more so than that. And so, in order for God to come down and redeem us from our sins, he couldn't be an alien of sorts that we couldn't relate to, this ball of light or this tremendous power. He had to come in an image. He had to come in a body that you and I could relate to. And that's why, and I'm going to finish with this morning, but that's why he was born in a manger. That's why he suffered. That's why he was not good looking. That's why he was not the heights of heights as far as physical ability and all of that. It was so that the least of us could relate to him. Jesus went through what I'm going through. Amen. Well, I wished I was better looking. Well, look to Jesus. He's the image of God. It's not about looks here this morning. It's not about what we look like. It's about what we possess. Not in material things, but in spiritual things. And I was thinking about it here the other day, and I hope this is all right. Where's Nellie at? Oh, she's back in the back. I preached to the back row this morning. There's little Elizabeth, and Elizabeth has got her handicap. And the Bible talks about that, and it says that those members of the body are more needful. And I thought about that, and I thought, why is it needful for us to have people among us that are handicapped and have those difficulties in their life? And it was almost like the Lord showed me, it's because through her, through Elizabeth, you never see her upset hardly ever. She's always got a smile on her face. Be careful, she'll talk your ear off. She's a little social butterfly, goes everywhere, talks to everybody. Smile on her face. And I thought, you know what? God put her here so we could see an example of what we need to be in our handicaps. Amen. Somebody said amen. That may not go over too well, but that's all right. It's true anyhow. Amen. Every one of us here this morning have handicaps. And I'm as guilty as anybody of getting depressed when things don't go my way. Getting upset when things don't happen the way I think they should happen. Just look around you and look at those that are happy and see what they're dealing with. Amen. That's who Jesus was. He did not come up to good looks. He did not come up to physical standards of the day. He did not. He was born in the house of a carpenter, and he was born in the city of Nazareth, which was a low-class city. It was low-class people. I've been to Nazareth, and it's not, even to this day, it's nothing to shout about. There's not high-rises. There's not beautiful temples and all of that. And they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, it can. Amen. When it's of God. Let's pray together. Jesus, help us this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth this morning of who you are. Truly, you are wonderful. Truly, what a wonder you are, Lord Jesus. Come into our lives. Come into our hearts this morning. Help us to see you for who you are. In Jesus' name. Somebody shouted amen. 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 What a wonder. What a wonder. Praise God. I wished I had the ability this morning to just shout this from the housetops. Amen. But inside of me, I'm shouting it to the housetops. Praise God. Jesus is Lord of all. He is the Son of God and He is the Son of man. That's why He could fall asleep when the Scripture says that God does not slumber nor sleep. That's why He could get hungry when God does not get hungry. That's why He could die. God can't die. He always was and always will be. But he was the body that God prepared for the redemption of mankind. One nature was God and the other nature was man. Amen. But he was God. He was the fulfillment of that veil, the veil in the temple between God and men. There was a veil in between. And that veil was pure wool, and it was three colors, red, blue, and purple. Red representing humanity, blue representing divinity, and purple the mixing of the two. Praise God. That's why when he died on the cross, the veil, which was a representation of him, was torn in two. When his flesh was torn, the veil was torn, representing that it is now open for all of us to come into the presence of God. But Jesus said, you can only come to the Father by me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. And I'm going to stop there. I'm going to be preaching my sermon tonight. Amen. I'm looking forward to service tonight. Praise God. Thankful for last Sunday night's service. Not because I didn't get to preach. Amen. Let's have a Holy Ghost service here tonight. Let's come expecting a mighty move of God. And let's bring someone to the house of God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanks. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing a chorus.